Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'd like to pick up with verse 38 to the end. Now remember, last time that we read, Jesus was in the synagogue and he said certain things and did certain things that got the people really kind of upset with him. And he healed a man that was full of demons. And the demon was able to recognize, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And too bad that modern day pastors are not able to realize that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. But these demons did. And they feared him. And when Jesus told them to come out of the man, they didn't lollygag. They scrammed at his command and his authority. Well, now we pick up at verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. This is Simon Peter, okay, the great fisherman. He owned the house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he, Jesus, laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Wow! Demons! Helpers of the devil! Recognize this man was more than just a mortal man. You are God. But not many pastors today, not many churches today. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and he came to them and stayed with them, that stayed him that he should not depart from them. Oh, Jesus was loved by the common folk, but not by the religious establishment. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Well, please be seated. Well, beloved, as you all know, I've shared this with you. I was raised Catholic. I had no choice in the matter. But one of the things I was taught as a Catholic was that Catholic priests are to be celibate, meaning they're not to marry. Even the nuns are not to marry. Now, you may not know this, but a Catholic nun wears a wedding band because she is betrothed to Jesus as a potential bride. So all the popes in recent history, celibate, bishops, cardinals, priests, celibate, monks, celibate, some have broken away. And they've enjoyed married life. Okay? We have a problem with the first two verses. Jesus went to Peter's house. And who was sick? Peter's mother-in-law. Well, to have a mother-in-law, you gotta be hitched. You gotta be married. So Peter, the great fisherman, who's supposed to be the bedrock upon which the Catholic Church is built, which it's not, and priests and nuns are to be celibate, we got a problem. Peter is a married man when he becomes one of Jesus' apostles. And they go to Peter's home, and his mother-in-law is flat on the bed, riddled with fever. And Jesus touches her and heals her. And when she pops up out of that bed, she hits the kitchen and puts dinner on the table for Jesus and his 12. See, you got to read your Bible. And so the next time someone tells you, you got to be celibate in order to serve God, say, I went to church today and I found out in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 that Peter was a married man because he had a mother-in-law whom Jesus healed. Then in verses 40 to 44, you find people coming out in droves, hauling people on bed mats. Sick, cancer-ridden, crippled, maimed, blind, deaf. And Jesus begins to heal and touch them, and he heals them. And then he's confronted once again with those who were possessed of devils. demons. And notice once again, verse 41. The devils also cried out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ. Now the word Christ is Greek. The Hebrew equivalent is Messiah. Messiah, Christ. Same term, one Hebrew, one Greek. And what in the world do they mean? Messiah means the anointed one, the one who has been sent. And so when you hear the term Messiah and you hear the word Christ, they are synonymous. The anointed one, the one whom God the Father sent to be our Savior and deliverer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus rebuked them. He told them to shut up. Zip it. Button. Button that lip. And he forbid them to speak. Because they knew who he was. I bet right now you take a test. Whenever you're bored, walk in the neighborhood, find 10 people, and ask them, who do you think Jesus Christ was? You'd be surprised the answers you're going to get. And then notice also in verses 43, what was Jesus preaching? Was he preaching a feel-good message? Was he preaching band-aids and box lunches for free? Was he preaching a social gospel? What about culture changing? Huh? Was he preaching a Black Lives gospel or the gospel of Antifa? He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. Now, what did I tell you the word Christ and Messiah means? The one who has been sent. And what does Jesus tell them? My Father sent me to go from city to city to proclaim the gospel, for therefore am I sent. And so, beloved, that's the Jesus of the Bible. That is not the Jesus of Time magazine. It's not the Jesus of Newsweek. It's not the Jesus that you see portrayed on Christmas time from the History Channel and the Learning Channel on National Geographic. This is the Jesus of Scripture. God coming to earth, assuming flesh, living a perfect life, obeying the law of God, whereby which we could never obey. He obeys it on our behalf. And when he went to the cross, he died in the place of sinners. He died for bad people, not good people. And when you and I come to realize how bad we are in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of men, not in even our own estimation of ourselves, when we begin to realize how God sees us without Christ, then flee to Christ. Call upon his name. Ask him for grace and mercy. Flee to him. Not to the Pope, not to a priest, not to a nun, not even me. I can't save you. Only Jesus can save. There's an empty cross and an empty tomb because the Jesus of the Scripture sits at the Father's right hand, full of grace and mercy, willing and able to receive all those who come to him by faith. By faith, not by your works or by your good deeds. By faith. Well, may God choose